Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, a shooter attacked a synagogue in California, and I wish I had commented on that heinous act at the time, but sometimes it takes a while for things to register and get through to me. Too often, Jews have been made a scapegoat for things that people dislike about their own lives. And unfortunately, this is not just a thing of the past. Anti-Semitism is alive and well in our country and elsewhere in our world. And some or most of this has a religious origin. In particular, the relationship between Judaism and Christianity has been complicated from the beginning. Jews have been blamed for the death of Christ. And also, Jews have been criticized for not turning to Jesus as their Messiah. Obviously, Jesus was a Jew, and so was Paul, or Saul, as we will refer to him today. Saul was a Jew as well. And I say he was a Jew, but I'm not sure that ever stopped. From his perspective, he remained a Jew all his life. And even though we talk about his conversion, he didn't change his faith in God, but he added on a crucial piece, as we see today. Saul and Paul are two names for the same man, and I've heard various explanations for this name change. Some people have said that it's all about the change of identity that he experienced there on the road to Damascus. And some people have said, well, it's just cultural thing that the Jews called him Saul and the Gentiles were more familiar with that name Paul, but I'm going to stick with Saul today. Early on, this Jewish man, Saul, was one of the strongest opponents of the new Christian movement. He was present at the stoning of one of the first deacons, Stephen. He may have been one of the leaders of that stoning. And now, Saul is breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. I like that phrase, breathing threats and murder. You can just imagine that everything he's saying is so negative and so violent. Well, Ananias is one of those disciples who is being threatened by Saul. And Ananias is almost certainly a Jewish Christian. He lives in Damascus, which is about 150 miles from Jerusalem. And maybe these Christians in Damascus are refugees from the persecution that they faced in Jerusalem by Saul and others. Saul has become well known in Damascus in a bad way. Ananias has already heard how much evil Saul has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And he knows that Saul is coming to Damascus to arrest any who belong to the way of Jesus Christ. He is coming to drag them bound to Jerusalem, maybe even to punish them there or kill them. Now, my guess is that most of you have heard of Saul before today. My guess is also that you might not remember having heard about Ananias. Because Saul is or is about to be a big deal in the church, and Ananias is not. This is the only time that we hear about him. Don't get him confused with another Ananias earlier in Acts. This is the only story about this man. And yet, Ananias is vital to the story of Saul and crucial to the story of Christianity. And this is how they interact. Saul has a religious experience on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus, but we don't know right away whether he recognizes this and is impacted by a faith change. He sees a flash of light, he falls to the ground, hears this voice, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And that's it. Saul is struck blind, and his companions lead him to Damascus, where he's basically incapacitated. He's blind, doesn't eat, doesn't drink. And we don't know if he believes right away or not. And it is Ananias who heals Saul. Ananias is told by the Lord to go to Saul and lay hands on him, restore his sight. And you know what? Ananias does not want to do it. Not the first time that that's happened in the Bible, that someone is told to do something and they don't want to. Ananias knows what Saul has done in the past, and he knows what he is capable of in the future. Saul could annihilate the whole Christian movement. And Ananias and probably all of the disciples there in Damascus are afraid of him, and they don't want to go anywhere near him. But the Lord Jesus tells Ananias to do it, and so Ananias obeys. Jesus says, "Go, for Saul is the instrument whom I have chosen." So Ananias heals Saul's blindness, and Saul is baptized into the faith of Jesus Christ. He's converted so that he might embark on an amazing missionary career. Now, Ananias, who is obedient, is converted from his negative preconceptions and fear, converted so that he is able to perform an act of love. And of all that Ananias does, perhaps the most important thing he does is to call Saul his brother. Saul, his known enemy, he calls brother. You see, no conversion is private. No conversion only affects one person. And in fact, because Ananias's perspective is altered, his circle of relationships expands. He gains a new brother. And something new, a new phase, also becomes possible for the church. And so in times of violence against Jews, Christians today may also be called to conversion. We may be called to move beyond some self-satisfaction that we have as those who already know Jesus. We may be called to move beyond that to a deeper understanding of ourselves as people who are called to love. We are called to respect Jews as brothers and sisters in faith, not the Christian faith, but the older faith in the God of creation and history. You see, God made a covenant with the Jews, a covenant that God has not revoked and that God never will revoke. The new Christian covenant, sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, exists alongside Judaism and does not replace it. It is through Christ that we are grafted into that original covenant of the Jews. It is through Christ that we too become children of God like them. And therefore, wherever there is prejudice and violence against Jews, we are called to reach out with love and healing, like Ananias, to recognize our common ties and to remember that God has made us all siblings. Ananias was converted to love even an enemy and to call him brother. And so may we too learn to love our brothers and sisters as ourselves. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.